بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And so inshallah ta'ala we'll continue our study of Surah Al-Shams after last week explaining the almost most of the ayat at the beginning of the surah, which were all an oath Allah Azza wa Jal had taken by. It began with وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا. And we stopped at وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. And so in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَفْسٍ, He is taking an oath, He is swearing by the nafs. And so we said here that Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't say one nafsi. He said وَنَفْسٍ, there is no al on it. So for example, we saw from the very beginning until here, they all had an al. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ وَاللَّيْلِ, and so on. But when we came to nafs, Allah Azza wa Jal just said وَنَفْسٍ. And so this is known as التَّنْكِير in Arabic grammar, which means it's an indefinite article. It came as an indefinite article. And what that implies is that التَّنْكِير لِلْتَعْظِيم. What it implies is that if there's an indefinite article, the absence of the al, it is there to magnify what is coming. So وَنَفْسٍ would mean Allah Azza wa Jal taking an oath by the nafs, but because of the absence of the al, it means that it's giving it importance and how great this nafs is. And Allah Azza wa Jal wants us to reflect on how huge of a deal the nafs, the soul, the conscience, the person is. So he says وَنَفْسِ. Now we're going to see how huge of a deal this is, and this is probably going to be our lesson, only these two ayat inshaAllah, because we need to explain in depth what the nafs is and what an accurate translation for it is inshaAllah ta'ala. So this is what's happening in the ayah. Allah Azza wa Jal just says وَنَفْسٍ to magnify the nafs, and He'll give what kind of importance it has. Just one very subtle thing that we find in this surah, something that's beautiful and comes with the consistency of the Qur'an. In Surah Fussilat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in that surah, that to the disbelievers, we are going to show them our signs, our miraculous signs, فِي الْآفَاقِ, in the horizon, in the universe, وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, and inside of themselves, we're going to show them signs, حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ, until it becomes very, very clear to them that this is the truth. Now, what's consistent in the Qur'an is this surah here as well. The beginning of the surah, Allah Azza wa Jal, He spoke about signs, miraculous signs that are in the universe, that are up there. So, الشمس is somewhere there. Al-Qamar is up there, Al-Layl, Al-Nahar, all this is happening up there, Sama is up there. And then when He spoke about what's in the horizon, what's up in the universe, then He said, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. Now He spoke about the nafs after all this. So subhanAllah, you find it consistent in the Qur'an. That ayah first mentioned Al-Afaq, فِي الْآفَاق, and then وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. And now this surah almost just explained what that afaq is by giving us all the beginning of the surah is all related to the universe and what's happening up there. And now He spoke about وَنَفْسٍ. And He took an oath by this nafs. And what did He say? He said وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. Now the word سَوَّاهَا comes from the word سَوَّا. And it means to take things that are uneven and you organize them in such a way that you balance everything out. That's what سَوَّاهَا is. So if you had a scale, and you had some weight on this side and some weight on this side, تَسْوِيَة would mean that you balance them in a way that it becomes equal and they're perfect and equal weight on both sides. That's تَسْوِيَة in Arabic. So تَسْوِيَة also means to build and to construct something. And you balance it perfectly. You do all the finishing touches down to the finest detail touches. It's perfect and it's symmetrical. That is also taswiyah. So not only Allah Azza wa Jalla is calling us to reflect over ourselves and nafs, He also wants us to reflect on how remarkable and how well and how amazing it has been balanced, and how amazing is the one who balanced it. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّهَا. And as we said for last week, وَمَا سَوَّهَا, this وَمَا can have two meanings. It's either مَال مَوْصُولَ or مَال مَصْدَرِيَة. If it was مَال مَوْصُولَ, then what the ayah would mean is, I swear by the nafs, and how amazing its balance. And in مَال مَصْدَرِيَة, it would mean, I swear by the nafs, and how amazing is the one who balanced it. So on one side we're reflecting on how amazing its balance, and the other meaning we're reflecting on the amazing, yani the actual Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're reflecting upon the amazing ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into how He balanced this nafs. And you know, subhanAllah, when we do think of this and we do reflect over the body and how it's balanced, we find everything inside the body is balanced. So like on the left side and the right side, everything is balanced. Five fingers here, five fingers there. Even inside of the body, everything is balanced. So that means if you, the fluids, for example, there's fluids in the ear, and they're balanced. If one was to go sort of more than the other, then you'd experience a headache. Right? And this is how the headache happens. So even that, the fluid inside of the brain and inside of the ear is balanced. If it was to be imbalanced, you wouldn't be able to have that that health and that comfort that you have right now. And so even subhanAllah, if the body, for example, your legs, they both of them are at a certain weight, both of them, or a certain height. Now if one leg is shorter than the other, you'll walk differently, and then you'll experience back problems, you'll experience hip problems, and so many other problems. So the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla has balanced it, this is what He wants us to reflect upon. That if I had taken a little bit of this imbalance away from you, there you would have never had this comfort and this health in your life. You wouldn't have experienced it. You would have always been in pain. So this is part of the meaning of وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. How amazing is this balance that He has given it. Now, this nafs is a mysterious thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us and put inside of us. And of course, it's not something that's physical. The human being is made up of something physical, and is also made up of something that is non-physical, tangible and non-tangible. The body is what's physical, and the nafs, which let's say now the ruh, right? The ruh is what is defined as the soul. That's the non-physical part of the body. Now, the human being, as we said, the ruh is something that cannot be touched, it cannot be felt, and it's from the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's from the command of Allah azza wa jalla, as He says, قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. So now, the body is something physical. And this is the beautiful analogy in this surah here, is as Al-Biqa'i rahimahullah, he mentions, he says that Allah Azza wa Jal, He paralleled the ruh, the nafs, with the body, just as He paralleled the sun with its light. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. And so you know now when you see the sun is actually something physical, it's tangible, it can be touched. But the light is something that is non-physical, right? The light is not something that can be felt or touched. So similarly, when we speak about the person, he's made up of a body. This is the body, something that can be touched, it's physical. And at the same time, there's a ruh, that is something that cannot be felt. It's almost like the light and the sun. The sun is like the body, the light is like the ruh. And this is paralleled with the nafs and with the body. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. This is how beautiful it's coming, because already the beginning of the surah told us about وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. I swear by the sun, and I swear by the soothing light of the sun. And so now we're given this understanding of reflect upon yourself and parallel your nafs and your body like the sun and its light. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. And I swear by the nafs, and how amazing He is, the one who balanced it. Now this balance also is this inclination towards good inside of us, and this inclination towards evil inside of us. Allah Azza wa Jal created the nafs, He created the good, He created the evil, and He didn't just let us like this. He placed inside of this nafs a recognition an inclination to that which is good and that which is bad. So the nafs recognizes the good and bad before it even reads about it, that it's haram or it's not. And this is going to come in further detail when we explain فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَهَا. But anyway, let's share what Al-Alusi rahimahullah, he says, and this is very important to understand. He said that when Allah created us, He created the clay and He blew into it the ruh. So we were created from soil. We were created from clay. Basically now what is known as organic matter, you can say. We were created from clay. And all of our desires, all of our needs, all of our wants comes from this earth. So the human being, he desires companionship, right? And whoever you get married to came from the earth just like you. And the human being desires wealth. This all comes from this earth. The human being desires food, it comes from the earth. He desires shelter, it all comes from the earth. So we were created from this material, the soil, and all of our bodily needs come from this material as well. And there was something put inside of us, and this thing that was put inside of us is not from this material. It's not from the soil, nor from the clay. This is something from the Amr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's from the command of Allah, and that is the ruh. It's not from soil, it's from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So now we have this, the person is of two things. He's a body and he's a soul. Now, when the body feels hungry, it needs to eat. And when it needs to eat, it looks for food. And where does this food come from? Obviously, it's coming from the earth. That's where it's going to come from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put inside the body the ruh, which is not from the earth, and it came directly from Allah, and it also feels hungry. The ruh also starves and it also feels hungry. But where does the ruh get its food from? And what is the only food that will satisfy this soul and this ruh is the revelation. So the ruh is from the command of Allah and the revelation is from Allah. So we were made from here and the body needs from, its needs are from what's here. And the ruh comes from above and so it will need what comes from above. And that is the revelation. Of course, the revelation comes from above and it descends and it comes upon the prophets. So this is actually something profound. It's a profound reality that we learn of the human being. We're made up of these two things, the body and the ruh, which is the soul. And these two things are in conflict. Like the day and the night are in conflict, and like the sun and the moon are in conflict. Right, and why I'm saying this, because I'm bringing it with you in the same theme and the same flow of the surah. At the beginning, Allah told us about the moon, about the sun. He told us about the night, about the day. Now He's telling us about the nafs. What was the use of mentioning all those things in the nafs? Because we need to think of the only way you'll understand the nafs is understanding how what works up the top and how the universe works in itself. And so we said that the body and the ruh, they're two different things. One is from here, one is from up there. And they're inside of one person and they are in conflict with one another, right? Just like the moon and the sun, they're in conflict, but there's harmony in between everything. So one goes and the other comes. One goes and the other comes. One sets and the other rises. And so on. And there's this harmony that's up in the universe and that harmony puts us to harmony as well. So if up there, if the sun and the moon wanted to do whatever they want and went out of control, this will affect our life here. So now what's happening is we're being taught that the soul and the ruh are two things that are in conflict with each other inside of the body. How does this work? The body wants its own things and the ruh wants its own things. And both are pulling the human being in two opposite directions. You know, the body itself is lazy. The body is lazy. The body doesn't want to fast. No body, it doesn't have this willingness to fast. Body is lazy, it doesn't want to pray at night. The body doesn't want to stand up for salat. The body doesn't want to, it just wants to look at haram. It wants to do haram. It just wants to sit and do whatever it wants. While the ruh inside of your body fights, while the ruh inside it fights the body, the ruh, because it's a command from Allah and instilled inside of it is the fitrah, it always wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is hungry for that for that revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal. It wants to attach itself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it came from Allah. So now, in saying this, here we have the people that live on earth are basically divided in three types. Two types are imbalanced, and the last type is what we should be, and that's the balance. So the first of imbalanced people are people that are completely, completely immersed into pleasing themselves. Their whole concern is the body. So these are people like, they're concerned of, how do you beautify yourself more? You know, how do I get more luxury? How do I please this body more? How do I give it more luxury? How do I make it look beautiful? And they're just completely immersed. And this is when an imbalance occurs. There's too much attention and concern given to the body. What is missing? What's the other thing you have inside of you? The ruh. And the ruh now is neglected. What happens to it? It suffers. And it starves. It's like you choke it, it's being killed. Because of so much concern to the body. And this is one imbalance. Now, the other imbalance that is present among people, and this was especially from the Catholic tradition, and also in terms of becoming monks and so on, they considered that the body is evil. And they considered that it has evil desires and so on. And so they said, we're not going to get married, right? And they said, we're going to wear uncomfortable clothing. And we're going to keep ourselves in pain. They wanted to destroy this body and want to attach more to the ruh side. And this also happened among Muslims, like the likes of the Sufis. And their name was, their name, that Sufi, it actually came from the word Suf, which literally means wool. And so what was their problem is that they would wear uncomfortable clothing. They would wear wool on their body, and which would cause an irritation to the skin. And they would have all these uncomforts in their life so that they can keep their body into where it is. They make it understandable that the body doesn't deserve any pleasure, and that we have to focus more and more and more on the ruh, which is also an imbalance. And why is it an imbalance? You know, subhanAllah, one directed completely towards the body and the other one directed completely towards the soul. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us two things, which means He wants us to give justice to two things. Otherwise He would have created us with one thing. So why would there be people to push on more on the body side and neglect the ruh, and then people that push more on the ruh side and neglect the body? That is incorrect. That's when the imbalance happens. Allah is saying, وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, and how amazing I balanced you. And with this balance, you should understand that your body is two things, and you need to work with these two things, you need to balance them. So in Surah Al-Qasas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. He says, seek with that which Allah has given you the hereafter. So that was focused on the ruh side. Allah is saying, seek with what I've given you the hereafter. In other words, work towards Allah Azza wa Jal. Do actions and righteous good deeds that please Allah Azza wa Jal. And then He said, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, and don't forget your portion of lawful enjoyment in this world. Don't forget the portion, that's the body side. So Allah Azza wa Jal balanced it for us in this ayah. And you know, subhanAllah, just yani shed light on two ahadith that actually teach us this balance. It's a beautiful ahadith. There is a hadith يعني, narrated by Abu Juhayfata radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a bond of brotherhood between Salman radiallahu anhu and Abu Darda, that Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He made a brotherhood, a bond between Salman and Abu Darda. So Salman radiallahu anhu, one day he went to pay a visit to Abu Darda. And Salman, he saw the wife of Abu Darda. He saw her dressed in unpleasant clothing, right? She wasn't concerned in her clothing, she just wore anything. And he asked her, why are you in this state? Why have you worn such clothing? She said to him, your brother Abu Darda, he is not interested in the luxuries of this world. So no matter how much I dress myself beautifully, he's not attracted. He's not, yani basically he's not interested in this world. So then Abu Darda, رضي الله عنه, he prepared a meal for Salman, and he said to him, Salman, come and have food, have lunch. And then Abu Darda, he said, oh, Salman, رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said to Abu Darda, come, let's both of us eat. And then Abu Darda, he said, I'm fasting, I can't eat. And Salman, رضي الله عنه, he said, I will not eat until you eat. So then Abu Darda ate with him. Then when it was the night, and a part of the night passed, Abu Darda, he woke up to offer the night prayer. And then Salman radiallahu anhu, he told him, sleep. So then Abu Darda slept. And after some while, Abu Darda woke up again and he wanted to pray. As Salman said to him, go and sleep. And he went and slept. Then in the last hours of the night, Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he walks into him and he says, wake up, let's pray. So they both prayed and they both offered this night prayer. And then Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after finishing, he looked at Abu Darda and he said to him, indeed, yourself has a right upon you, and your Lord has a right upon you, and your family has a right upon you. And so give each the rights they are due. Give each the right that they are due. So then Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he told him the story of what happened that day. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Salman, or Sadaqa Salman, Salman has spoken the truth. In other words, what Abu Darda was doing wasn't the right. And that was focused more on the ruh needs. And he had neglected his body, and he was fasting every day, and he's praying, he's not sleeping, and he's not even interested in his wife. And Salman is saying, this is wrong. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Salman, you're correct in what you told him. Each has a right. So in other words, in this hadith, you learn the balance that there has to be. There's a balance, there's a right that's due to Allah, there's a right that's due to the family, there's a right that's due to your own self. And you know, subhanAllah, what's even more interesting is that not only Islam calls us to perform and engage ourselves in justice in this manner, also physically to have justice over ourselves physically. So there is the hadith, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, لَا يَمْشِي أَحَدُكُمْ فِي نَعْلٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. This is a hadith, رواه مسلم. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do not walk with one shoe or with one sock. Don't walk unless you wear another one. Either you wear two or you remove two. Why? Because there's injustice that's happening to the body. There's an imbalance that's happened for the body. So this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, don't do, right? And so we understand from all this, and plus this ayah, that there is the only type of people that we must be is a type that is balanced, that we know how to balance the body needs, and we know how to balance the ruh needs as well. Now, at the center of this discussion is the idea and the concept of kufr and iman. And the center of all this is the heart. This is a third thing that's inside. There's the heart, there's the body, there's the soul, the ruh. Let me bring you all this and what really happens inside. So now, the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran as that's where desires are found. That's where diseases are found. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٍ. That's where the disease is found. Fi is also found in the heart. Love, hate, anger, jealousy, all these emotions are found in the heart, as the Quran mentions. Then you have the iman, which is belief in Allah, that's also found in the heart. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, He decorated the iman in your hearts. There's also kufr. Kufr is also in the heart. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. There is, as a result of kufr, their heart became hard. So kufr and iman is also inside of the heart. Now, the heart has two influences. The heart has two influences. It's first, one influence is from the needs of the body, and the other influence is from the needs of the soul. So if the heart was to listen to the body the whole time, the heart becomes hard. And if the heart was to listen to the soul, the ruh, the whole time, then it's doing injustice to the body. The heart is like a territory. Think of the heart like territory. And that these two, the body and the soul, are in fight with each other, who can win the heart over. And how does each How does each of the body and the soul, how do they advertise themselves, or how do they reach out to the heart? Allah Azza wa Jal says, "Inna as-sam'a wal-basara wal-fu'ada kullu ula'ika kana 'anhu mas'ula." In other words, the hearing, the eyes and the ears, our hearing and our seeing, how does the body, this is how, these are the two ways in how the body or the soul will have an influence on the heart. So how does the bodily desires reach us? How do the bodily desires reach us? Through our eyes and through our ears. We either see what we desire, which will affect the heart, or we either hear what we desire, which will also affect the heart. And also the needs of the ruh, they reach us through our eyes and our ears. So we see the truth, and we hear also, we hear the truth. So these two mediums, the eye and the ear, these two mediums by through which truth and falsehood is coming to us. And revelation is called light in the Quran. It's called light. Allah Azza wa Jal says, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٍ. That nur, light, has come to you from Allah. And it also, it's called ruh. The Quran is called ruh. وَكَذَلِكَ أُحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا. And iman is also called light. Now, there is light inside of us, and that is known as the light of fitrah, which everyone was born with. And there is this thing of light of revelation, which the Quran is. When you hear the revelation, this light is entering inside of you. When you hear the revelation, this light enters inside of you, and it hits what already light you have inside of the fitrah. And so when they come together, Allah Azza wa Jal describes this in Surah An-Nur, Nurun ala Nur, that light upon light. And so this light upon light is the light of revelation upon the light of fitrah, which is the goodness that's inside of someone. Now the Quran describes this conflict inside of us as the nafs. See this conflict inside, when the body is lazy, it doesn't want to do anything, and then the ruh wants to do everything towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This conflict is what is known as an-nafs. That's the translation of an-nafs, this conflict. Why? Because the word an-nafs, it comes from the word, from the root words noon, fa, and sin. And so for example, in Arabic, when someone breathes, you say tanaffas, tanaffas. When someone competes someone else, you say tanafus. And now we're saying that the nafs inside of us, the soul, is also called nafs. What's the relationship between all of this? Breathing, tanafus, is something that in and out, right? There's something of going in, back and forth, back and forth. And tanafus, which is competition, is also something of going back and forth. So if it's in a race, the first is coming first, then he drops into second position, then a few minutes later he's back into first position. There's this fourth going and coming. And the nafs was called the nafs because of the conflict. What is the conflict doing? On one hand, you have this nafs, sort of, it drags you to something that's known as a nafs al-lawwama. You do something bad, you feel guilt inside of you, right? Then you repent to Allah Azza wa Jal, that's a nafs al-mutma'inna. After a few minutes, you become a tranquil soul, a soul that has returned and repented to Allah. A few days later, you might do another sin, it goes back to guilt, you feel this guilt again. And so the nafs is not one thing, it goes from one stage to another. An-nafs al-lawwama, an-nafs al-mutma'inna, an-nafs al-ammara bis-su. And which one is advertised to the heart the most is, this is, of course, we're speaking about which one advertises itself to the heart the most, the body or the soul, which one advertises, which one gets to the heart more, the ruh or the body? The body. The body. Why? Because the body is from this dunya, and basically a dunya has bombarded each and every single one of us. Wherever we turn, there's dunya. Wherever we turn, we want something, and we want this, and we want that, we want to upgrade this, and so on. So what happens is that who got to the heart more? The body. The body got to the heart more. So now when Allah Azza wa Jal speaks of the evil nafs, He refers to it as an-nafsul ammarah bisu, the soul that commands the body to do evil. It's like it commands it because, you know, it's in its hand. Right, so he referred to it as al-ammara bisu, and this is why this soul is called evil, because of course it commands you to do the evil. And the way Allah Azza wa Jal captures this in this surah is incredible. It's amazing. He says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. فَأَلْهَمَهَا means he placed inside the nafs. فَأَلْهَمَهَا comes from the word ilham. And ilham is to put a feeling inside the heart that is more certain than fact. It's like, ilham means, it's like they refer to it in English like a gut feeling. You know, when you do something and you just say, I know it's right, that's ilham. Or I feel it's right. Or I have to do this because from inside I'm saying this is right. That's ilham. That's the ilham. So Allah is saying that He put something inside of us, this certain feeling, and this is a favor and a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is this ilham He put inside of us? He said, fujuraha. He gave it a clear understanding of its fujur. He gave the nafs the ability to recognize fujur. Fujur comes from the word fajjara, fajjara, which means for something to explode, something to tear and rip apart. So a fajr is someone who explodes in sin, and someone who is really, really rebellious against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the worst possible ways. Alhamaha fujuraha means that He gave us a certain feeling, an understanding of what is clearly rebellious to Allah inside of us. So that when you do something wrong, you know it's wrong. You know, any person from any religion, if they want to steal without reading in any scripture or any book that stealing is haram or stealing is forbidden, or reading in any law that stealing is a crime, without even reading this, an alarm will go inside of yourself telling you that this is wrong. That's فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا simply means that when you do the wrong, Allah has instilled inside of you that you know something is wrong. And when you do the taqwa, when you do the good, you also know that it's good. You don't need someone to come and tell you what you're doing is wrong or what you're doing is right, because that's already pre-programmed inside of the nafs. And that's what فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا means. So now, when someone does something wrong, you'll feel guilty about it. There will be the feel of guilt inside of you. And that feeling of guilt is a blessing and is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hear that feeling of guilt? That's a gift from Allah azza wa jal. You know why? Because when you want to do something wrong, so the alarm system inside of you goes off. And that alarm is the guilt, right? And so, why does one feel guilty? Why does someone feel guilty? Because you know that you will pay for what you did either now or later on in the hereafter. This is why you have the feeling of guilt. So Allah gave you that feeling, that alarm goes off inside of you before you commit the haram, so that maybe it will stop you from doing the haram. And the feeling of guilt in itself is a proof that the day of judgment will come. Because when you're feeling guilty, why did you feel guilty? Because you know you'll pay for it later on. When? On the day of judgment. So the feeling of guilt in itself, this is why Allah Azza wa Jal puts these two together in the ayah of Surah Al-Qiyamah. لَا أُقْسِمُ بِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ. You might ask, what's the relationship between the day of judgment and a guilty soul? That's the relationship. That the guilty soul is an alarm going inside of you. Why is it going inside? Because it knows it's going to pay for its haram later on. When? يوم القيامة. On the day of judgment. So this is فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا. This thing that goes off inside of you, this is فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا. And you know also, whatever it is, whether you lie, you cheat, you steal, anything that you do that is wrong, Allah Azza wa Jal didn't just create that evil, He also created inside of you to recognize what the evil is so you can stay away from it. So you don't come on the day of judgment, Allah, I didn't know it was haram. Well, I didn't know it was wrong. No, I've given you something inside of you that'll tell you it's wrong. It'll go off. And so this is why, for example, a lying machine or a lie detector, things like that work. You know why? Because they will attach it on the human being. And then the human being, he already has some certain things that are functioning inside of his body, the blood pressure and so on, whatever it is. And so the pulse, and they test everything. And when you lie, you're doing something wrong. And when you do something wrong, something, it goes on inside of you telling you it's wrong. and they can pick up by changes of يعني, the chemicals that are happening inside of your body. And so this is why this thing, there's no problem in it. Maybe it does work, right? We're not saying it's something that we rely on, but maybe it does make sense, you know? Because Allah taught us that when He created the insan, He put inside of him a fitrah. This fitrah doesn't lie. This fitrah doesn't cheat. This fitrah doesn't steal. This fitrah doesn't do the haram. And when you do something that's wrong, it'll shake. It doesn't feel right, right? And so this is why, يعني, subhanAllah, things like this can be detected. So, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا. You know, subhanAllah, when a Muslim does something wrong, we're going to speak about a Muslim that does something wrong. The first place we find out we are doing something wrong is ourselves. And when you do it, we feel uncomfortable about it. And when we feel uncomfortable, we go to the Imam and we ask him, you know, is this really haram? And then the Imam would say, oh, you know, and the way you'd say it, you'll say, you know, if someone did this, you already know that it's wrong. You're not even able to say, now I did this and so on, is it haram? If someone did this and this and that, is that considered haram? And then the Imam pretty much will say, yeah, that is haram, you can't do it. So then you become even more uncomfortable, which then you'll go to another Imam and you ask him, what I did and that, is it haram? And then he'll probably tell you, oh, there's other opinions. And then you'll feel a bit better and you'll start fatwa shopping, Google and whatever it is, until you find a fatwa, until you find someone that tells you what you did is haram, then you'll feel a little better. But you know what? The first fatwa that was given to you wasn't from someone. It was by your own nafs. And this is why when the Prophet ﷺ was asked about birr and itham, when he was asked about goodness and evil, what did he say? He said to the companion, istafti qalbak. Seek a fatwa from your heart, because your heart will tell you what is right and what is wrong. And so he says, al-birru husnul khuluq, goodness is good character. And al-ithmu ma haka fi nafsi wa taraddada fi sadr. And he said to him, ithm, evil, is that which fluctuates, that which wavers, that which creates doubt in your nafs. And then he says to him, wa in aftaka an-nas wa aftawk. Even if people were to throw at you fatwa, this is right, this is right, this is right, don't listen to that. Take a fatwa from your heart, it'll tell you what's right, it'll tell you what's wrong. That is the core meaning of فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنه, he says, عَلَّمَهَا الطَّاعَةَ وَالْمَعْصِيَةَ. He says, أَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا means عَلَّمَهَا الطَّاعَةَ وَالْمَعْصِيَةَ. That he taught it obedience, and he taught it evilness and the sin. He taught it to recognize this. Then he says, وَتَقْوَاهَا. تَقْوَاهَا, Allah Azza wa Jal gave the human being, He inclined in him the ability to find the taqwa, basically to protect himself. This is what taqwa is. Taqwa is not fee. Taqwa is not fee. Taqwa is protection as a result of fee, right? It's protection. Why did this protection come along? Because of fee you had. So for example, I'll give you a short example on taqwa. If you're at home and it's 2 a.m. at night and you heard something outside, and you remember that the doors aren't locked, and so you feed for your safety. You get up and you lock the door. The fact that you lock the door, the moment you lock it, you are engaged in an act of taqwa. Why? Because you had fee, there might be something outside, and then you got up and you protected yourself by locking the door. That's taqwa itself. So taqwa is not just fee. Taqwa means that you fee, what do you fee? You fear Allah, you fear His punishment, but then you get up and do something to protect yourself from it. So if you really feed the hellfire, you do something to protect yourself. What are you going to do? That is by adhering to the commandments of Allah, by يعني, accepting one Lord and worshipping one Lord, by praying to Him, by doing everything sincerely to Him. That is what the taqwa is. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He said that He also gave the nafs the ability to protect itself. In other words, the body and the nafs, these are programmed to get up and do worship for Allah. They're programmed to protect itself from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now you know, when you do something good, you know it's good. If you go and give a sadaqah, you know that you did something good. And you don't feel not a little percentage that you did something bad. You never regret it. and you rush towards doing it. If you helped someone, you say alhamdulillah, you feel good. But this is what taqwa. This is because you know this will protect you. If it was sincerely given for Allah's sake, if you did some help sincerely for Allah's sake, if you prayed sincerely for Allah's sake, you feel good because you know that it will add to your protection on the Day of Judgment, and you will be removed from that punishment that Allah Azza wa Jal gives those who did not protect themselves. Mujahid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that he, Allah, he made the nafs realize the evil path, or the path of evil, and the path of protection. So now he said that it's a path of evil. And you know what's awesome? That in the previous surah, Allah told us about lots of gifts He gave us. He said, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ. Didn't we give the human being two eyes? وَلِسَانًا. Didn't we give him a tongue? And شَفَتَيْنِ. Didn't we also give him two lips? And now in this surah, we're learning that if the nafs is in the right place, you will use those two eyes and the tongue and the two lips for the right things. And if the nafs is deviated and there is an imbalance in the nafs, then these gifts will be misused, and they will be, yani, basically they will be misused, they won't get you to the right way. And so in the previous surah, Allah told us of two paths. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. We guided him to the two elevated paths. And this surah is an explanation. It's a tafsir of that. What are the two paths? Fujuraha wa taqwaha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of the Quran, people who benefit from the reminders of the Quran. Innahu waliyu thalika wal qadiru alayhi. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.